Chapter 7. Warnings and Counsels Given to the Battle Creek Church. Granville, New South Wales, July 2, 1894. Many go to Battle Creek expecting to find an influence similar to that of heaven, but they soon find practices not at all in accordance with their ideas of truth, and the separate, peculiar people who are to represent the most pure, holy principles of religion that were ever given to the world. Many have been led to walk in false paths through being brought into connection with those who were not consecrated, self-denying followers of Jesus Christ. Where are the faithful sentinels in Battle Creek to keep the fort? Where are the minutemen to guard and not to relax their vigilance for one moment? Men who watch, men who pray, men who walk humbly in meekness and lowliness, after the example of the greatest missionary that ever visited our world, who is our pattern? It is time that there was a different order of things in Battle Creek, else the judgments of God will surely fall upon the people. His blessing has rested upon you in large measure. Has it made you laborers together with him? Are not our people in Battle Creek demonstrating to unbelievers that they do not believe the truth which they claim to advocate? God has been calling them away from every species of self-indulgence and all manner of extravagance. When the church has had great light, then is her time of peril if she does not walk in the light and put on her beautiful garments and arise and shine. Darkness will becloud the vision so that light will be regarded as darkness and darkness as light. When the believers in Battle Creek shall not only be penitent occasionally, but shall walk in humility, doers of the word, the world will take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Oh, how can the Spirit speak to impress hearts so that they will obey his voice? Granville, New South Wales, July 20th, 1894. I wish to remind my brethren of the cautions and warnings that have been given me in reference to constantly investing means in Battle Creek in order to make a little more room or to make things more convenient. New fields are to be entered. The truth is to be proclaimed as a witness to all nations. The work is hindered so that the banner of truth cannot be uplifted as it should be in these new fields. While our brethren in America feel at liberty to invest means in buildings which time will reveal that they would do just as well and even better without, thousands of dollars are thus absorbed that the Lord called for, to be used in regions beyond. I have presented the warnings and the caution as the word of the Lord. But my heart has been made sad to see that, notwithstanding all these, means has been swallowed up to satisfy these supposed wants. Building has been added to building, so the money could not be used in places where they have no conveniences, no building for the public worship of God or to give character to the work, no place where the banner of truth could be uplifted. These things I have set before you, and yet you have gone on just the same, absorbing means, God's means, in one locality, when the Lord has spoken that too much was already invested in one place, which meant that there was nothing in other places, where there should be buildings and facilities, to make even a beginning. Instead of our enlarging and erecting additional buildings in Battle Creek or other places where our institutions are already established, there should be a limiting of the wants. Let the means and the workers be scattered to represent the truth and give the warning message in regions beyond. Granville, New South Wales, 1894. If the members of the Battle Creek Church do not arouse now and go to work in missionary fields, they will fall back into death-like slumber. How did the Holy Spirit work upon your hearts? It was stimulating you to exercise the talents God has given you, that every man and woman and youth should employ them to set forth the truth for this time, making personal efforts, going into the cities where the truth has never been proclaimed, and lifting up the standard. Shall the selfishness and the ease of those who have earthly comforts and attractive homes allure us? Shall we cease as moral agencies to use our powers to the saving of souls? Shall our voices be indistinct? Then God will put his curse upon us who have had so great light, and inscribe upon the walls of our homes, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. He will put a tongue in the stones, and they will speak. But God commands of you in Battle Creek to go forth. Granville, New South Wales, July 24, 1895.
God's field is the world. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 1, verse 8. Luke 24, verse 47. Peter said to the believers, "The promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2, verse 39. God has poured out richly of his Holy Spirit upon the believers in Battle Creek. What use have you made of these blessings? Have you done as did the men upon whom the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8, verse 4. Has this fruit been seen in Battle Creek? Have the church been taught of God to know their duty and to reflect the light which they have received? The Lord's heritage has been strangely neglected, and God will judge his people for this thing. Pride and the love of display are gratified by the accumulated advantages, while new fields are left untouched. The rebuke of God is upon the managers for their partiality and selfish appropriation of his goods. Something has been done in foreign missions, and something in home missions, but altogether too much territory has been left unworked. The work is too much centralized. The interests in Battle Creek are overgrown, and this means that other portions of the field are robbed of facilities which they should have had. The larger and still larger preparations in the erection and enlargement of buildings which have called together and held so large a number in Battle Creek are not in accordance with God's plan, but in direct contravention of his plan. It has been urged that there were great advantages in having so many institutions in close connection, that they would be a strength to one another and could afford help to those seeking education and employment. This is according to human reasoning. It will be admitted that, from a human point of view, many advantages are gained by crowding so many responsibilities in Battle Creek. But the vision needs to be extended. These interests should be broken up into many parts in order that the work may start in cities which it will be necessary to make centers of interest. Buildings should be erected and responsibilities centered in many localities that are now robbed of vital, spiritual interest in order to swell the overplus already in Battle Creek. The Lord is not glorified by this management on the part of those who are in responsible positions. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Habakkuk 2, verse 14, John 17, verse 3. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, May 30th, 1896. Dear Brother Blank, I have returned from our season of prayer. The spirit of intercession came upon me, and I was drawn out in most earnest prayer for souls at Battle Creek. I know their peril. The Holy Spirit has in a special manner moved me to send up my petitions in their behalf. It was not alone the sin of putting to death the Son of God that cut the Jews off from salvation, but their persistence in rejecting light and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience worked in them, leading them to abuse the men through whom God was giving a testimony to them. The malignity of rebellion reappeared and was intensified in every successive act of resistance against God's servants and the message he had given them to declare. Under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, the Jews saw their guilt in refusing the evidence that God has sent, but they would not yield their wicked resistance. Their obstinacy became more and more determined and worked the ruin of their souls. It was not that they could not yield, for they could, yet would not. It was not alone that they had been guilty and deserving of wrath, but that they armed themselves with the attributes of Satan and determinedly continued to be opposed to God. Every day, in their refusal to repent, they took up their rebellion afresh. They were preparing to reap that which they had sown. The wrath of God is not declared against men merely because of the sins which they have committed, but for choosing to continue in a state of resistance and, although they have light and knowledge, repeating their sins of the past. If they would submit, they would be pardoned, but they are determined not to yield. They defy God by their obstinacy. These souls have given themselves to Satan, and he controls them according to his will.
How was it with the rebellious inhabitants of the antediluvian world? After rejecting the message of Noah, they plunged into sin with greater abandon than ever before, and doubled the enormity of their corrupting practices. Those who refuse to reform by accepting Christ find nothing reformative in sin. Their minds are set to carry their spirit of revolt, and they are not, and never will be, forced to submission. The judgment which God brought upon the antediluvian world declared it incurable. The destruction of Sodom proclaimed the inhabitants of the most beautiful country in the world incorrigible in sin. The fire and brimstone from heaven consumed everything except Lot, his wife, and two daughters. The wife, looking back in disregard of God's command, became a pillar of salt. How God bore with the Jewish nation while they were murmuring and rebellious, breaking the Sabbath and every other precept of the law. He repeatedly declared them worse than the heathen. Each generation surpassed the preceding in guilt. The Lord permitted them to go into captivity, but after their deliverance, his requirements were forgotten. Everything that he committed to that people to be kept sacred was perverted or displaced by the inventions of rebellious men. Finite men should beware of seeking to control their fellow men, taking the place assigned to the Holy Spirit. Let not men feel that it is their prerogative to give to the world what they suppose to be truth, and refuse that anything should be given contrary to their ideas. This is not their work. Many things will appear distinctly as truth, which will not be acceptable to those who think their own interpretations of the Scripture always right. Most decided changes will have to be made in regard to ideas which some have accepted as without a flaw. These men give evidence of fallibility in very many ways. They work upon principles which the Word of God condemns. That which makes me feel to the very depths of my being, and makes me know that their works are not the works of God, is that they suppose they have authority to rule their fellow men. The Lord has given them no more right to rule others than he has given others to rule them. Those who assume the control of their fellow men take into their finite hands a work that devolves upon God alone. That men should keep alive the spirit that ran riot at our general conference in Minneapolis is an offense to God. All heaven is indignant at the spirit that for years has been revealed in our publishing institution at Battle Creek. Unrighteousness is practiced that God will not tolerate. He will visit for these things. A voice has been heard pointing out the errors and, in the name of the Lord, pleading for a decided change. But who have followed the instruction given?
who have humbled their hearts, to put from them every vestige of their wicked, oppressive spirit. I have been greatly burdened to set these matters before the people as they are. I know they will see them. I know that those who read this matter will be convicted. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, January 12, 1898. I am pleased that the Lord is in mercy again visiting the church. My heart trembles as I think of the many times he has come in, and his Holy Spirit has worked in the church. But after the immediate effect was over, the merciful dealings of God were forgotten. Pride, spiritual indifference, was the record made in heaven. Those who were visited by the rich mercy and grace of God dishonored their Redeemer by their unbelief. The Saviour has oft visited you in Battle Creek. Just as verily as he walked in the streets of Jerusalem, longing to breathe the breath of spiritual life into the hearts of those discouraged and ready to die, has he come to you. The cities that were so greatly blessed by his presence, his pardon, his gifts of healing, rejected him. And just as great, yea, greater evidence of unrequited love has been given in Battle Creek. Has Christ not loaded down his church with benefits and blessings? Has he not sent his servants with messages of pardon and righteousness, to be freely given to all who will receive them? Jerusalem is a representation of what the church will be if it refuses to receive and walk in the light that God has given. Jerusalem was favored of God as the depository of sacred trusts. But her people perverted the truth and despised all entreaties and warnings. They would not respect his counsels. The temple courts were polluted with merchandise and robbery. Selfishness and love of mammon, envy and strife were cherished. Everyone sought for gain from his quarter. Christ turned from them, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how can I give thee up? How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Matthew 23, verse 37. So Christ sorrows and weeps over our churches, over our institutions of learning that have failed to meet the demand of God. He comes to investigate in Battle Creek, which has been moving in the same track as Jerusalem. The publishing house has been turned into desecrated shrines, into places of unholy merchandise and traffic. It has become a place where injustice and fraud have been carried on, where selfishness, malice, envy, and passion have borne sway. Yet the men who have been led into this working upon wrong principles are seemingly unconscious of their wrong course of action. When warnings and entreaties come to them, they say, Doth she not speak in parables? Words of warning and reproof have been treated as idle tales. When Christ looked down from the crest of Olivet, he saw this state of things existing in every church. The warnings come down to all that are following in the tread of the people of Jerusalem, who had such great light. This people is before us as a warning. By rejecting God's warnings in this our day, men are repeating the sin of Jerusalem. The Lord sees what the human agent does not see and will not see, the outcome of all the human devising in Battle Creek. He has done all that a God could do. He has flashed light before the eyes of the people, that their sins might not reach the boundary where repentance cannot be felt. But by a long process of departure from just and righteous principles, men have placed themselves where light and truth, justice and mercy, are not discerned. This course has become part of their very nature. I call upon all who have united in a course of action that is wrong in principle to make a decided reformation and forever after walk humbly with God. These are no idle tales, but truth. Again I ask, on which side are you standing? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, June 8, 1898. If the light which God has given you over and over again, that missionary centers should be established in many cities, and that the labor and the means centered in Battle Creek should be divided and planted in many places, had been followed, the present state of confusion and dearth of means would never have been. Men located in Battle Creek have disregarded the counsels of the Lord, because it was more convenient for them to have the work centered there. God has left these to the results of their human wisdom, and its fruit is seen in the present perplexities. Again and again the Lord has pointed out the work which the church in Battle Creek and those all through America are to do. They are to reach a much higher standard in spiritual advancement than they have yet reached. They are to awake out of sleep and go without the camp, working for souls that are ready to perish. The many interests centering in Battle Creek should be divided and subdivided and placed in other cities. You who think you are wise men may say, "It will cost too much. We can do the work here in Battle Creek at less expense." Well, does not the Lord know all this? Is not he a God who understands all the unbelieving reasoning that holds so many interests in Battle Creek? He has revealed to you that centers should be made in all the cities. This would call many out of Battle Creek to work in other places. These extracts are taken from testimonies, first published in leaflet form, and distributed to the members of the Battle Creek Church in 1894, 1896, and 1898.